Welcome to Journal Club. I'm Malcolm Diggs. Imagine for a second that you are an IoT device. You're a smartwatch, or a smart speaker, or a smart lamp, or a smart fridge. Either way, you're smart. You've got a processor on board, and you can handle a lot of the computational workload yourself. But for some tasks, there are just so many calculations to do so quickly that your onboard chip isn't up to the job. For those kinds of workloads, you offload the processing to a remote server. Let that machine do the heavy lifting and then return the result. But there's a problem. When it comes to choosing the type of server that you want to send your workload to, you are spoiled for choice. You've got three main classes of options: cloud servers, edge servers, and fog nodes. 1. Cloud servers. These are virtual or dedicated servers from a cloud provider: AWS, GCP, Azure, DigitalOcean, etc. When you use one of these options, you have access to a practically limitless pool of computational resources: CPU, RAM, GPU, disk, network, you name it. The issue is, these servers are likely to be physically quite far away from the IoT device, and the speed of light only travels so fast. So what you gain in computational horsepower, you might lose in round-trip latency. 2. Edge servers. CDNs like Cloudflare, Fastly, Akamai, and others operate small clusters of servers everywhere all over the world, and they're likely to have a server much closer to an actual IoT device. For a fee, of course, they'll let you run a workload on this edge, but it's usually a much more resource-constrained environment. You might have caps on runtime duration or limits on the underlying compute power, etc. 3. Fog nodes. When an edge server just isn't close enough, you can opt for a fog node. When companies roll out fog infrastructure, they often do it themselves, physically spinning up small servers across a small geographic area. Since you control them, you can put these fog nodes as close to the IoT devices as you want. The issue is, to get significant geographic coverage without spending a fortune, your individual fog nodes will likely be very small, from something as small as a single microcontroller to something as large as a server closet. These servers will likely be your most resource-constrained option, but also your lowest latency option. So, what would you choose? Where would you send your workload? Big fast servers that are far away, medium-sized servers that are a bit closer, or smaller servers that are nearby? More to the point, how would you go about making this decision? What factors would you consider, and how would you weigh them? This is one of a class of problems known as a task allocation or scheduling problem. Historically, many solutions to problems like these have been NP-hard. But in today's paper, these researchers have proposed two new algorithms that they say can allocate and schedule tasks in polynomial time. Their solution is based on the concept of volunteer computing, and their algorithms are called MinCCV and MinV. Let's take a deeper look. In a traditional volunteer computing system, VCS, laptops, phones, and other devices can donate some of their idle capacity to a collective task. The most famous example was folding at home. It was a project launched in 2000 by Stanford University that allowed people to donate an idle computer's resources to protein folding research. The protein folding calculation process would only kick on if your computer went to its screensaver. If you woke the computer back up, the protein folding would stop. VCS projects like folding at home faced a novel set of problems. They had an ever-changing cluster of computers coming online, making their resources available, then turning off unexpectedly, so the maintainers of these projects had to figure out elegant procedures and algorithms that could decide where to run a given workload on the fly. In today's research paper, the authors are basing their solution on the concept of a VCS and the lessons learned from operating them. Their algorithms presume that there is a cluster of available resources and that it's a heterogeneous and dynamic mix, just like in a VCS. They conceived of the system as being separated into five areas. 1. The IoT layer. That's where the devices that need to talk to a server live. 2. The cloud layer. That's where elastic compute volunteers live. 3. The edge layer. That's for the semi-elastic compute on the edge. 4. The fog layer. That's for the fixed fog devices. And 5, the fog broker, an application running in the fog layer that consisted of a request receiver, a resource monitor, and a task scheduler. Since we've already covered the first four, let's go deeper on the fog broker. That is where their new algorithms live. The request receiver inside of the broker is exactly what it sounds like: a server listening on a port sitting on a network that the IoT device has access to. This could be an intranet or the broader internet. the request receiver functions as the point of contact for the IoT devices. So when an IoT device has a workload it needs to offload, it sends the details to the request receiver, which sends it to the task scheduler. The task scheduler receives either a single task or what's called a bag of tasks, which is a batch of many tasks. We'll come back to that distinction shortly. The resource monitor within the broker is continuously polling and observing all of the available nodes in the system, all of the cloud servers, edge servers, and fog nodes. It monitors their load, their capacity, their distance from the broker and latency, their cost to operate, and other types of telemetry. The task scheduler inside the broker is where the meat of the business logic takes place. It pulls in information from the resource monitor and then accepts workload requests from the request receiver. Depending on the nature of the request, it runs one of two algorithms. If it receives a single request, it runs the min-CCV algorithm. And if it's a batch request, a bag of tasks, it runs the min-V algorithm. The min-CCV algorithm. This algorithm gets its name from the fact that it attempts to minimize the computation, communication, and violation costs, CCV. It creates a compound score that factors in all three of these things and returns the identity of the server with the lowest compound score. This is the server where the workload should be placed. Computation costs are a function of CPU and memory costs. Communication costs are a function of the size of the network I/O and the utilization cost of the bandwidth. The violation cost is a function of the round-trip time inclusive of all moving pieces. This algorithm goes through all the servers available in the system, summing the total costs of every one of them, and then assigns the workload to the server with the lowest total cost. The min-V algorithm. This algorithm gets its name from the fact that it attempts to minimize the total violations only. When faced with a batch of tasks, the scheduler ranks the servers by projected round-trip time, ranks the tasks by their deadlines, and then goes down both lists in parallel, assigning the tasks to each node. So, in other words, the server with the fastest round trip will receive the task with the earliest deadline. To test their system, the authors set up a simulation using the iFog Sim Simulator Toolkit. They set up three experiments, each experiment varying the number of fog nodes, cloud servers, and edge servers. They then compared the algorithms to three others, round robin, random, and the TCAS, the time cost aware scheduling algorithm, and evolutionary algorithm. For their primary evaluation metric, they used the PDST, the percentage of deadline satisfied tasks, to compare these algorithms to each other. Here are the results. Overall, both MinCCV and MinV outperform the other algorithms in terms of PDST by up to 96%. They also reduced violation costs by up to 98.6%. Overall, the authors were pleased with the results, but they noted that more work will need to be done in the future to factor in energy consumption costs. If you'd like to dive into the authors' performance data, review the graphs and charts they generated, or just read the pseudocode of the two algorithms, then I'd encourage you to download this paper. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. I hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.